I'm Ebony K. Williams, attorney and host. Welcome to Holding Court, where we analyze the latest legal headlines that everybody's already talking about. But we dig deep into how the courts impact the culture. We break it all down, going straight from gavel to your newsfeed. And every week, we keep it 100. Right, Dustin?
That's right, E. Let's hold court.
Dustin Ross, my darling.
What's up, E? How you doing?
You brought out the red J's today.
Red J's, that's right, because I got a red dot on my microphone this week.
It's a siren going on here.
It's time to point and go off, okay?
Keep it spicy.
That's what we do.
I feel like it's going to be a spicy one this week.
Caliente for our Latin brethren, okay?
Let's go. Habanero.
That's right.
So let's talk about the weekend. Where was my dearest lovely?
I had a busy weekend this weekend. Several people were in town, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
Today is Met Gala Monday. Yes, so there's so many people in town. Had a good weekend, though. Spent some time with some loved ones and just, you know.
It looks like it was a vibe.
Yeah, it was a vibe. You get it.
I saw your social.
You get it.
Well, you know, I was in the nation's capital
this weekend. Yeah, okay.
Having a lovely time celebrating black ownership. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yes.
With the Byron Allen.
The one and only.
The one and only.
Yes.
We were actually coming off of upfronts. I think you saw. Mm-hmm. I had a couple of photos on my Instagram. We had a fantastic upfront.
I saw you up there, you know, in the upfronts, leading the charge of new programming that we're going to be, blessed with.
A new slate of America's Court TV. You know, it's
really
coming. Yeah, well, you know, it was fantastic because it was myself, Judge Mathis, mm-hmm. and Judge, People's Court Judge.
Yes. What's the damn? I just saw the picture. It's on the tip of
Matt
my
Leon.
Tongue. Yes, yes,
Judge
yes.
Malion, her lovely self. And, you know, we're just excited to see, you know, everything that's going to be this new slate of daytime court. Oh, and I bring greetings from, I'm going to show you this little visual. I bring greetings from this lovely queen.
Okay. Oh, yes.
This is the Judge Lauren. Like,
yes, my heart.
She, like, I said, hello, Judge. She said, hi, my love, Dustin. Like, you were the third word out of her mouth. She's so in love with what we do here on Holding Court. She's in love with you.
She's a wonderful
person. She's in love with how you show up for the culture and Flint and Detroit. And, you know, she's, again, a part of what we're building. So,
and
it's
exciting. Two of the best people in the world. It makes perfect sense that you all were in each other's company.
Really,
I love
really
that.
It was a really lovely vibe. Yeah, so we celebrated Byron's fantastic gala where he honored Gayle King.
Yes.
You know, a little talent named Diana Ross, the boss, performed.
Just you know, casually mentioning that, you know, an icon,
legend,
a living legend.
Living legend. And it was a fantastic showing. And, of course, that was following the actual White House Correspondents' mm-hmm. Dinner, which I also got the privilege to attend. You know, really was honored to sit next to the Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee.
Wow.
And then beside her, the Congresswoman Maxine Waters.
Wow.
April Ryan, longest serving black White House correspondent ever. It was just a table to be at. It was talking about a seat at the table right here. Yeah.
Because what you just did was issue a reminder to all of these people.
That's it right there.
Who are acting like they don't know how the fuck you give it up. Okay? Let's be clear. This is why one monkey or one situation does not stop your show.
You can't.
These are just the things that you do. You are casually at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, sitting amongst
literally the titans of industry.
Titans.
The living legend. And I say that with all humility and gratitude, because, you know, this is not anything that I take for granted, Dustin,
as you know,
but it is something to be said. It just shows you the power of our God, really,
mm-hmm.
that he saw fit for me to even share space
mm-hmm.
With icon didn't even feel like the right word, right? With really the builders of black excellence,
living history,
that are living in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
They were in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I could just breathe their air.
Be in conversation, exchange ideas.
Offer up a platform to Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee as she launches her mayoral race for the city of Houston.
And we love to see that.
It just did something for my spirit.
Well, that's wonderful.
It was great.
Black excellence, literally.
Yeah. And I like my little dress I had on, too.
Oh,
so
look,
that was nice.
You already know you're going to jump when it's time. You know.
When it's time
jump.
To get dressed.
You know she's going to
do it. This old pageant bitch will come right on
come
out.
Come right on out.
Right
okay.
on out. So, you know, it was interesting. Speaking of the White House Correspondents' Dinner and the accompanying gala that Byron threw after, I was a little bit confused as because folks kept coming up to me, the mm-hmm. mayor of Atlanta and all these, you know, again, leaders of black excellence in the community. Eb, you ain't going to date the bus driver? I said, I said, what are y'all talking about? Mm-hmm. Because as you know, I had interviewed Dr. Ayanna Lavanzon. Yes. I did Sorrel on the Griot Show. I host every weekday at 6 o'clock. Check your local listings.
How about that?
The Griot with Ebony K. Williams. Mm-hmm. So I had Dr. Lavanzon on, and we were discussing a continuation of the conversation that she started on The Breakfast Club a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. That was really rooted, Dustin, in how she describes Black women today showing up as men in skirts. Yeah. And I thought that was worth unpacking. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't even think that she was wrong. In fact, I actually agree.
You understood what she was saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. I understood what she was saying, what she was implying, and really what she was challenging this generation of Black women to do when it comes to our feminine and masculine energies. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a worthwhile conversation, Dustin. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was one that was worthy of exploration. So I invited mm-hmm. Dr. Lavanzon on the show. And we actually had a beautiful, vulnerable, a provocative conversation.
Yeah.
But you know, social media, which we, you know, is a part of our business, cut the little clip up, and that's good. And of course, we're going to go for the most provocative soundbite because we do want to garner what has happened. I want to be clear. I want to say, Dustin, I'm grateful for the fact that the culture has such an insatiable appetite for this particular conversation.
And amplified it in that way. Yeah.
Baby.
It's everywhere.
I want to thank the Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
I want to thank Tyrese.
Spiritual Word.
I want to thank Spiritual Word. I want to thank the good brother Jason Lee.
Yes.
And Hollywood Unlocked. Yes. Although Jason jumped his motherfucking ass in the comment with his ownership based ass with something cute to say, but we got that together. That's cute, Jason. Shout out to Jason Lee and Hollywood Unlocked. And everybody else. That mm-hmm. really, shout out to Viola Davis, who was in the comments. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Claudia Jordan, who was
girl.
In the comments.
Yes.
Michelle. I mean, this was almost like a congregation of aspects and different pockets of Black America, from politics. I mean, it was fantastic to see us all participating in a conversation about where is the current relationship between Black men and Black women.
Yeah.
And where does it go? And what are the consequences of us being stagnant where we see there is both rupture and the need to repair when it comes to the Black family and the romantic interpersonal relationships of Black men and women. Mm-hmm. And I think that is imperative, Dustin, to frame that that is the intention.
That's the context
of this dialogue.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
You know, I'm not even going to unpack these facts for y'all because I know you've seen the clip. And hopefully what you've also seen, because I'm going to post it on my social media, Dustin, the full interview of myself and Dr. Lavanzon Ayanla. And then yesterday, as of the recording of this episode of Holding Court, the good sis, my real dear colleague and really has become a close friend of mine, Ms. Teslin Figueroa.
Yes. Brilliant, Teslin.
You know, Teslin is just a special individual.
Yes, she is.
She's what we call bilingual. She calls herself the Hood Whisperer. And yet, which I love for her, it's great branding, brilliant marketing, Ms. Tez. And she also understands the deep complexities of the things in which she speaks to.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, Tez and I was coming back from D.C. I hit her on the text. Yo, sis, will you hop on this IG Live with me and have this conversation further? She said, say less. Mm-hmm. So she brilliantly created content, because that's what we do as content creators.
That's right.
You know, and that's going to air Thursday on Teslin's show, but you can currently see it on my Instagram Live where we unpacked it deeper. So people were mad. They're mad at your friend, Dustin. They're
mad at me. Oh, what are we going to do? Wow.
Well, you know, my feelings are hurt. No, but here's the thing. They're mad. And I figure since they're already mad, I would go ahead and give them cause to be incensed.
My girl.
So what I want y'all to realize is when Ayanna Lavanzon asked me, she didn't ask you. She didn't ask my mother. She didn't ask any other Black woman in America in that moment. She asked me.
Yes.
Would I date a bus driver?
Yep.
Currently. And all I said, Dustin, was if he owns the bus. Let me tell you what I did not say.
Would you date a bus driver? Would you date
if he owns the bus? If he owns it. If he owns the bus.
That's a problem. Okay. Because the standards and requisites, and I'm not talking about him laying on his sofa playing video games all day. I'm not talking about that. But the standards and the criteria that we use to measure men is off for who we are as women and who they are in this society. I would date a bus driver if he loved driving the bus, if he was a man of integrity, if he was good to his mama, if he treated me well.
I did not say, I don't date men without college degrees. I didn't say that.
Nope.
Because I don't subscribe to that. I didn't say I don't date men who don't make $100,000 a year.
Right. Never came out your mouth.
Never came out of my mouth. Not even a consideration. I'm going to prove it to you in 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
All I simply said was, if he owns the bus. But let me tell you what I can gather people heard based off of the comments. And I want to talk about the volume of comments. Like we said, we gave our thanks and gratitude to all the platforms that have amplified myself in this conversation. We're talking about over 35,000 comments.
Mm-hmm.
And that's as of the recording of this episode of Holding Court.
It's only getting bigger.
And of those comments, Dustin, most all of them call me everything but a child of God.
Mm.
And what they heard me say that I never said was, bus drivers ain't shit. Bus drivers are broke. Bus drivers are beneath me. I know that those who have rational sense know that that is nothing that I said, thought, or implied, or even believe.
That's not even how you are. You're not that type of person.
Well, and again, for those that are even a little bit familiar with my work, that have read even a little bit of my first or my second book.
The second one is called Bet on Black.
The good news about being black in America today. And in it, what you will read is, I think, a very important story. First of all, Dustin, the fact that I spent so much time on black ownership in the book to the point where I devoted a whole chapter. It's called The Leverage Chapter. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite chapter of the book, let me be clear. Because as I say in the beginning, the opening sentence of that chapter, it's hard to be free when you don't own anything. So for me, Dustin, it's not about the money or the cash flow. It is about tethering black liberation here in America to ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that in my fiber and in my being, and let me prove it to you. Why, Ebony? Why is that so important to you? Well, it's like this. My grandfather, Kerry James Williams Sr., Kerry's namesake. He had a fourth grade education.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not all of those that want to make this about me being some bougie elite bitch. Throw it out the window. You made it up. Here's the thing. Kerry had a fourth grade education.
Mm-hmm.
Kerry provided amply for his family. There were times where my grandmother didn't even work and when we had everything that we needed as a family, because my grandfather was an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
He cut hair.
Mm-hmm.
He made moonshine and sold it.
Mm-hmm.
He cut graveyards on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing that black man would not do to make sure his family had, on top of an earned income with a position in the feed mill. What you know about the feed mill, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then he raised my mother, Miss Gloria J. Williams,
yes,
to always know that nobody will pay you what you will pay yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tenet of entrepreneurship. So my mother, again, I'm a first generation college graduate.
Yep.
So this is not about an elite education caste system. This is talking about understanding that your liberation as a black American is tethered to your ability to own something. So Gloria said she went to college for a couple of years. She went to Texas Southern for a couple of years. Shout out to Texas Southern University.
Yes.
And after 2 years of listening to the aspirations coming out of undergraduate with student debt and a mid-tier, mid-management, $50,000 a year job, my mom said, bullshit, I can do better than that on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And so she walked out those collegiate doors and she started a business.
Mm-hmm.
She at first put herself through cosmetology school. Doesn't I'm telling y'all this for a fucking reason. So keep listening. She put herself through cosmetology school. She never worked in anybody's chair. That was her choice.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thought she was crazy because everybody said, oh, well, you know, you just got your license. You should go work in someone's shop first, get your skill set together. My mom said, yeah, fuck all that.
Yep.
And she opened Gigi's Hair Care Center the day after graduation.
Yep.
So that's what I'm seeing growing up is 5, 6, 7, 10 years old. She took the money from Gigi's Hair Care Center, just Dustin, and she opened Our Future Child Care, locations 1 and then 2.
Mm-hmm.
And she took that money and she opened up Gigi's Trucking and Tractor Trailing.
Let's talk
so
about
she
it.
Had, and she had not one, not two, up to 3 18-wheelers that she bought, what? Cash.
Let's talk about it.
And then she had a fleet of transportation. And she was the only black woman, to my understanding, Dustin, that had a trucking and tractor trailer business in the city of Charlotte, North Carolina. So my point in saying this, y'all, this is not an indictment of individuals who drive the bus. But my legacy, as Kendrick would say, my DNA mandates that I follow my legacy of entrepreneurship and honor the fact that for me and me only, ownership is essential. Now, again, I said I would prove it to you about that. It's not about the money. Dustin, you have a business. I have a business. We both know per our, you know, experience as business owners, as entrepreneurs, when it comes tax time, the first 5 years of any business normally results in a loss.
Yep.
See, some of y'all don't even know what we're talking about right now, but you're so quick to be in these fucking comments.
Yeah.
The first 5 years of entrepreneurship in almost every sector shows up as a fiscal loss.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say I will date the bus owner, That's not about the money. That could be a man that has net zero, negative income.
Negative is what I was going to say.
Yeah, negative. Because I've been there. I assume you've been there.
Yeah.
You know, because that's a part of growing the business.
Yeah. Still got 1 foot in.
Listen, up top. There we go. So I really need you guys to understand that this, for me, was a call up. This was, for me, an invitation. And it really pains me to say this to you, Dustin Ross, that of those 35,000 plus and growing comments in the comment section, only one or two.
Mm-hmm.
Only one or two. And I think they were both black men. So mm-hmm. shout out to these particular enlightened, forward-thinking mm-hmm. black men. They said, well, let me see something here. Maybe Miss Ebony is not so indignant and wrong to suggest that some of us drivers, and some people, that's the maximum of your skill set, mm-hmm. is to drive the bus. And it can't be anything mm-hmm. wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Earn a good living, get your pension and your benefits, and keep it moving.
There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. That's what you call making an honest living, whatever the fuck you do.
And yet, Dustin Ross, what we know is that some people's skill set positions them for more.
Differently. Yeah, yeah.
Something additional.
Yeah.
That says you could take the driving of the bus and then you can build on that and it can become an ownership of the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Some of y'all also heard me say a fleet of buses or the bus company. I ain't never said that, y'all. I said the bus. Now, I did a little research. And I knew my mother's pursuit of tractor trailer and transit business. Mm-hmm. And I know about what she paid. But that was a few years ago. By a few, I mean by 15.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, let me Google what it costs to own a bus in today's America. Do you know right now, Dustin, you can get a used but certainly workable bus for less than $5,000 cash?
See?
You can buy it and you can own it.
Then you own the bus.
Then you own the bus.
And you're part of the conversation.
You're part of the conversation. And you are controlling your income source by way of bachelor parties, bar mitzvahs.
Yeah, so you know, any celebration.
Parties,
yeah.
Anything. I mean, and that's just that. Mm-hmm. You know, old folks like to take a trip to the casino.
And to the outlet mall.
That's it.
That's right.
That's important.
Yeah.
They like to go to the show.
That's right.
To be out in the country.
Yeah. You can drive and do the Black College Tour. Remember that?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's just so much you can do with that. And I'm not saying that's for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But what I am saying, Dustin, is it was telling to me
mm-hmm.
that so few people in all those comments with all that feedback saw my retort mm-hmm. to Ayanla with, if he owns the bus, and missed what was really an invitation
mm-hmm.
to think of something different. I'm not even going to say bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just say think of an alternative source of income and provision.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to really fuck y'all up, some of y'all, with this. Everything in a narrative that says that we as Black Americans should all just be complicit and happy with what some of y'all call an average, hardworking lifestyle, that's rooted in white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I need y'all to know that. I need y'all to really look underneath the lens of what has been packaged and sold to us, Dustin, since our arrival on this land as some far distant reward for us being good Negroes.
Yeah.
And accepting our lot in life as subordinate and working / lower class and of low to meager income and lifestyle and all of those things. And that's what they want. That's what white supremacy demands of us, to make our peace with it and not aspire for anything different or more or more creative than that. They want to cut us off from aspirations of ownership. And see, those of you that are all too willing, eager, and happy to cozy yourselves up to a narrative, whether it's from Dr. Ayanla Von Zahn or the dearly departed Kevin Samuels, or whoever, you know, whoever words make you feel good about your mediocrity,
mm-hmm.
because for some of you, that's what you're relying upon, mm-hmm. the mediocrity. Some of y'all can't do anything different than drive a bus or work at a McDonald's or anything else that we would consider blue collar or working mm-hmm. class. And there's beyond nothing wrong with it. But some of you, they can. Some of y'all that have a different skill set and you are choosing not to maximize it because of the comfort of mediocrity, you're doing the work of the oppressor. You're doing the work of white supremacy. And you don't even know it, but you want to be mad at me for calling you up. And a couple of the men that I responded to, who started off a little spicy, a little caliente, a little habanero, mm-hmm, a mm-hmm. little jalapeno.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Miss Ed, Auntie E, what's wrong with driving the bus? I said this. Oh, no. This was a young man that cuts hair. He said, well, Auntie E, you know, I cut hair. I don't own the shop. So what's wrong with me? I said, let me ask you an honest question, dear sir. I said, would you like to own the shop? Guess what he said?
What?
I would. He said, I would, and that's my goal one day. I said, and that's an excellent goal. And then all of a sudden, he's like, well, will you amplify me? I said, nobody will be your bigger cheerleader than Auntie Ebony K. Williams, because mm-hmm. I so believe in that. And that's something else y'all really got to understand about me. And y'all don't really know me, some of y'all, and you only see what you see a couple times a week on platforms. Mm-hmm. But know that I live this shit for real.
For real, for real.
Like, for real, for real. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, you know, I can't tell you how many coffee meetings I take with people that I don't even know mm-hmm. just because they had the audacity mm-hmm. to ask me for leadership, mm-hmm. advice, guidance, young people in all walks of life. So I really, really am about the cultivation of Black folks liberating ourselves from a permanent, listen to this part, y'all, liberating ourselves from a permanent American underclass, mm-hmm. because that has been the design for Black life in America since we arrived on these shores in 1619.
Yep.
And for me to be a, and listen, I'm not the first to think of this, so I'm not that naive or arrogant. Mm-hmm. If this was easy, Dustin, it would have been done a long time ago. Mm-hmm. The problem is there are so many vested minds and interests, Black, white, and other, in continuing a narrative of Black subordination, of Black folks being content with the least, mm-hmm. that when you start talking about Black folks aspiring, excelling, and ascending to the most, you yep. get demonized.
Yep.
How about that?
Yep.
Well, guess what? I'm here to tell all of y'all, keep calling me all the names. Keep wishing my crusty, lonely, broke death upon me. Please keep hoping that the rich men I do end up being with beat me to death. Because that's what y'all saying. And guess what? I'll take it on the chin with a smile, baby. Because if that's what it takes to disrupt a mentality of my people who I love more than life itself, to really seeing with open eyes, Dustin, what is possible for us when we get out of the comfort, cozy place of mediocrity where white America wants us to be and stay, I'll take it, baby. I'll be the, listen, they talked about Jesus.
They sure did. And Jesus told them, fuck y'all. They said when he was up on that cross, one of the last things he did was take that right hand and stick his middle finger out.
That's okay. It. That's last what I heard.
Lashing.
That's
yeah,
what I heard.
Fuck y'all.
That's what I heard. But one. I might have got that from your Easter retort. That's probably
been,
where I got that from.
It might have been.
But yeah, you can put me right up there with them because I love y'all enough to tell you what you don't want to hear, to tell you the truth of the situation. And the truth of the situation is not about anything being bad about being a bus driver. It is simply about, as a woman who is tethered to the moral mm-hmm. issue of Black ownership. See, for me, it's not, again, y'all stop talking to me about $120,000.
Yeah.
I want y'all to stop talking to me about a pension plan. Mm-hmm. I want y'all to stop talking to me about benefits and even $200,000. Mm-hmm. Okay. I want you to start talking about what ownership looks like. That really should be the conversation today.
Yep. Yep.
Now, why do you think it's not?
Because people would rather focus their energy on attacking a viewpoint that is different from theirs mm-hmm. in the way that they feel excludes them. You know what I mean? I think a lot of the people who had something to say about you sharing your personal dating preferences, right? When someone asked you, not even your preferences, because it wasn't even a conversation about your preferences. It was a very specific question.
Very specific. And I gave a very specific answer.
And you gave a very specific answer that people took and ran with, which we expect that. We know people are going to do that and not literally take 5 seconds to explore the nuances of the conversation.
And just consider, huh, that's interesting that she would respond that way. First of all, instead of being so silly and simple-minded, I would love if our people got a little more curious. Mm-hmm. I wonder, instead of presuming and projecting falsities, she thinks she too good, or she thinks it's something wrong with bus drivers. She must think bus drivers are broke. Y'all, I just told you, my aunt, may she rest in peace, Sherry Williams, was a dispatcher for damn near 20 years for Greyhound Bus.
See?
I know I don't ever talk about some shit I don't know. That's what y'all really need to understand about your girl. Okay.
Yeah.
So I understand better than most the income levels, the level of prosperity that we're talking about. We're talking about bus drivers, dispatchers, owners, and the like,
mm-hmm.
which is why I'm saying I'm always going to push y'all. And see, some of y'all don't want to be pushed, and that's the real problem.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's very interesting. I mean, that's the real tea on that. But I'm pushy as a motherfucker, and I mm-hmm. push everybody that I love. Mm-hmm. And so this mm-hmm. goes for, let me tell you the truth. Now they're about to be real mad at me, Dustin.
Come on with
so
it.
So I've dated attorneys, mm-hmm. okay? And at your big, I'm 39. I'll be 40 in September. Mm-hmm. I went out with an attorney last year, Black man, nice looking Black man, whatever. He was 52. 32, mm-hmm. and he was still an associate at his law firm. Mm-hmm. And he was talking to me about how stressed he was about trying to make partner at 52 years old. I'm going to tell you the truth. I was turned off. Let me tell you why. And this, again, on money, in New York, associate at this kind of firm. He's at one of them big white shoe firms. He had to be making $400,000
mm-hmm.
a year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more. Mm-hmm. So I don't give a fuck about the money part. Mm-hmm. What I'm concerned with, dear sir, is what I know the math to be. So, sir, you have a Georgetown law degree. You've been practicing law for damn near 25 years plus. You are probably being billed out by the firm. Mm-hmm. So that means the firm is billing clients mm-hmm. out, charging probably $15 to $2,000 mm-hmm. an hour for your services. Because mm-hmm. you know, because you pay lawyers. Mm-hmm. And I do too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And yeah, you are bringing home, like I said, if you're lucky, after taxes, this and the third, a fraction.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting pennies on the dollar. So you're stressing yourself out, working 7 days a week, magnifying and realizing a white man's dream. That's a problem for me as a black woman in America.
Yep.
So if you were my man, if you were and we were to do that, I don't want you to stay at that job very long at all, sir. I want to help support you in building something mm-hmm. that you can own, that we can own, that we can pass forward to a generation to talk about wealth building. But see, y'all don't want to have that conversation because
yep.
y'all want to make it about elitism and all this bullshit.
The simple take, right?
Yeah.
I think that speaks to what the bigger issue here is, which is laziness in mm-hmm. thought, right?
Yeah, like
it's so easy for you all.
And sometimes action, if we tell the truth.
And action.
Yeah.
It's so easy for y'all to say, oh, well, she must say she don't want to date nobody that don't make no money. No, motherfucker. Had you listened to the conversation, you would understand mm-hmm. the point that you were making. But you would rather take this really broad stroke, top level approach and just, you know, the easiest take possible. You
yeah,
know what I'm saying?
Simple
and
take,
run with that.
The lazy the take that requires nothing of me as a culture. The take that requires me to do nothing different, mm-hmm. to not think differently, and I'll never give you that take. So anytime you listen to me on a platform, I don't give a fuck if it's The Breakfast Club, The mm-hmm. Griot, The View, mm-hmm. Holding Court, mm-hmm. or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I am always going to expect and demand the most of my people. Why,
yeah.
Dustin Ross? Because that's who I think we innately are.
Yeah.
I think everything that pushes us in a position in a corner of less than, minimum, average, is whiteness.
Yeah.
I think that's white supremacy doing its masterful work. And guess what? I'm no longer bound by white supremacy, baby. And me and mine will never be. And that comes, like I said, from at least three generations
mm-hmm.
of black people with limited education,
mm-hmm.
Going back the previous two, especially my grandfather,
mm-hmm.
saying, not on my watch.
Yep.
I will not work my finger to the bone to enhance white wealth only.
Yep.
I will do it in a way that enhances me and mine. And if you have a problem with that take, I think you need to look at the mirror. And you need to really unpack why that is. Why is that so threatening
yeah.
to the mere suggestion of black ownership?
Yep. And that's that on that, you know, to whom it may concern.
Oh,
fuck
well, there's two more elements we need to address before we go to the docket.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our good friends over at the Breakfast Club.
Oh, okay.
First of all, y'all should have seen the smile on Dustin's face. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, shout out to the Breakfast Club. I really want to appreciate y'all for always, always, always supporting and uplifting this content
yes.
that we create.
Yes.
And it's a blessing. So that's important. So they started the conversation today on the Breakfast Club as of the airing of this, and they wanted to make it the question of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Would you date a bus driver? And in this conversation, it was just going to be Envy, who we love, Charlamagne, who we love,
yes.
and Flame Monroe, who we love,
yes, yes.
who's the guest host today. Shout out to Flame. Teslin Figaro, who we've mentioned earlier, does now, she is the regular host of Headline News.
I love that.
Which I love for her. I love for the culture. She's excellent at
yep.
it. Shout out to Teslin Figaro.
Yes.
But Teslin said, oh, y'all talking about Ebony's conversation with Ayanla? Oh, I actually just did an Instagram live with her, and it's going to post on my podcast. Shout out to her podcast, Straight Shot No Chaser,
yes.
on the Black Effect Network.
That's right.
Who we are friends of.
Alum.
Alum.
Black Effect alum.
We are alum, class
yeah.
of,
yep.
inaugural year.
Inaugural, okay.
Up
boom.
Top. Boom. And, you know, Teslin said, I'd like to be here for this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So they arranged for that. So the four of them, Flame, Teslin, Envy, and Charlamagne participated in this conversation and took calls.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, you know, I do feel that Envy and Charlamagne, both married men of 20 plus years,
mm-hmm.
both been out the dating game.
20 plus years.
And,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's very interesting that Envy wanted to talk about, on one breath, he opened it and said, well, Ebony's entitled to her preferences, which I appreciate. Thank you, Envy. But then he went on to say that, you know, everybody has to start somewhere.
Okay.
Right. And he went on to talk about how when he was a younger man, he worked at the U.S. Open and he was getting the balls off the ground for the tennis players and pros. And then, you know, it's important that we make space in the culture for people to get a start. Obviously, all reasonable minds would agree, Envy.
Yeah.
But Tesson made the good point, Dustin. Well, how old were you when you were doing that?
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Rashid? Mm-hmm. Rashad, how old mm-hmm. were you when you were doing that? And the answer was 17. Okay, great. So here's what we know about that, Envy. Of course, everybody needs a start. I used to sell hot wings and french fries at a little place called Hooters.
Yeah.
And I did it three different times.
Yep.
as a freshman and as a law student twice.
Yeah.
I folded sweaters at J. Crew.
Same. My first job was at the Gap.
At the Gap.
Mm-hmm.
So let me tell you what's real trifling that my mama had me do. Shout out to Gloria J. Williams. So you know when you first started those retail jobs, they mm-hmm. give you six outfits.
Yes.
So you could wear.
Yes.
I don't even think they still do this shit no more because we fucked it up for y'all.
Yeah.
And so I got my six outfits.
Mm-hmm.
And after about 3 days of work, I ain't never. She wouldn't let me go back. So that's the stock in which I come from. So for those of you that are confused as to why I have this take. Just blame it
yes,
on Gloria.
Okay.
Okay. But another job that I had, where we talking about starting off,
mm-hmm.
Chili's, baby.
Yes.
I want my baby back, baby
Chili's?
Back, baby back ribs. Okay. When I tell you I sold the fuck out of those goddamn Southwestern egg rolls, Dustin, and them fucking Presidente margaritas.
Absolutely.
Like my life depended on it.
You know how many people I know that have made careers out of working in the restaurant and food service industry?
Freudian slip.
Okay, right.
Because you can't get hurt
and,
on it.
And who have sent their children to college?
That's it.
Who have provided... you know, substantially thriving homes and shit.
So the point here, Envy, and all of those listening to this, nobody ever is not going to make the space for a start.
Right.
But at my big age, which again, the comment section wanted to remind me about, you know, mm-hmm. the bitch ain't you about 50? Okay, I'll take that. I'll be that. Guess what, though? At my big age of 39, almost 40, I am not looking to partner, Dustin,
mm-mm.
with someone who's just starting.
Mm-mm.
That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that at this point in life, I'm looking to partner. And let me be clear. Somebody, oh, well, she didn't say marry. She said date. I'm not dating casually at this point in my life. That's a personal choice.
Right.
I'm not somebody that suffers from perpetual loneliness like some.
Me either.
I'm not somebody who needs to be held
no.
when it's raining outside.
Nope.
Like some.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very comfortable in my own skin.
That's right.
Would I love to partner and connect, Dustin, with the right individual?
Sure.
That's going to be additive emotionally.
If I felt like it.
If I felt like it culturally.
Yeah.
And another thing. I felt like you when I did that.
Yeah.
And another thing.
God damn it. That's right.
Y'all be watching too many Tyler Perry movies. And I said this to Teslin. This narrative where all bus drivers look like Shamar Moore and our holy sanctified saints
mm-hmm.
that never tell a lie, never cheat, and never do nothing wrong.
Yeah.
That's a fantasy. And then you know, like the Tyler Perry movie, Temptation.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
With your girl, Jurnee Smollett.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the man with the money had full-blown AIDS.
Yes.
You know, y'all want to make everybody
that
with the
story.
Education and a couple of dollars to rub together the devil. And they're destined to live a horrible life and die early by themselves. Stop with that.
I also think it's lame that everyone else has decided to make bus drivers this position of dowdy, you know,
mm-hmm.
Less than, you know, confident, you know, it's not a position that people occupy when they're down on their luck.
No,
people,
it's a choice.
City bus drivers get paid very well.
Very well.
They have incredible benefits. That's a position that people seek out for stability. So the fact that this audience
yes.
and even Dr. Van Zandt have chosen
bus drivers and MTA. We live in New York City, Dustin. I know several MTA. First of all, let's talk about this. This narrative, this is what this all comes down to. White supremacy, one bucket.
Mm-hmm.
White supremacy and the narrative of black folks need to shut the fuck up and be content with the least average and lowest available lifestyle and resources. That's white supremacy. Number two mm-hmm. narrative that I saw coming up over and over again in this conversation, Dustin. Nobody wants black women.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wanted to remind us all of the statistics that say that black women are the least desirable. Nobody wants y'all. It was giving Mr. from The Color Purple, mm-hmm. really.
Right.
It really
you
was.
You can't cook. Yeah.
You're ugly.
Yeah.
Okay. So we ain't shit. We understand. We're all fat. We're all out of shape. We're all bald headed bitches with not a hair on our head or a lash on our eye.
Yeah.
That's the narrative. Okay.
That's what they want.
Yeah. That's what they want for us. That's fine. That's okay. And thus what none of us get to do, because they was even coming in on the good sis test when she said she like I'm fresh out the penitentiary because they got that dang-a-lang. Mm-hmm. She was joking, kinda, by her own admission. but then it's, well, bitch, how you gonna say that? The point is, when we are black women in America, Dustin, we need to understand our lot in life is at the lowest of the low, the undesirables, to quote our Indian caste system. Mm-hmm. You know, I just came back from India. Namaste. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's what they want us to believe. And if you dare have any preference, whether it be a white collar career, whether it be an entrepreneur, whether it be a fresh out the penitentiary mm-hmm. that's slanging that good, mm-hmm. who the hell do you think you are to have a preference?
You need to take what's given to you.
You can get, bitch. That's the narrative. And I will never, ever concede that. I'll never, because guess what? It takes just one.
Mm-hmm.
Ray J said, I had one wish.
One wish. I think what people don't understand is what you were speaking to a bigger issue as far as value and as far as, you know, knowing your worth.
Yeah.
That's not just something that applies in you know, your romantic conquests or whatever. That's a philosophy that you apply to every section of your life.
Every section of my life. And then now we really go, Brother Charlamagne got to come to you and then we're going to be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
Charlamagne in that conversation on The Breakfast Club said that his biggest thing mm-hmm. with the conversation between me and Dr. Von Zandt was women don't get to ask for what they don't provide. They don't get to want something that they don't bring to the table. And then the conversation goes to, well, does Ebony own anything? This is the conversation on The Breakfast Club.
Okay.
Well, I don't know, and I don't know, and I don't know. Well, Charlamagne, I don't know what in the world possessed you to act blind, deaf, and dumb all at the same time on The Breakfast Club. When, good sir, we've known each other for many years.
Yeah.
We've actually done several business dealings together,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so what you know for fact, if nothing else, I own the rights and responsibilities of my podcast. You mm-hmm. know that because we've brokered a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to be extensively negotiated. Mm-hmm. I'll frame it that way.
Mm-hmm.
In order to make sure that I retain my insistence on the ownership of the intellectual property as it relates to Holden Court with Ebony K. Williams. So at a minimum, Charlamagne,
you know
I own that.
Yeah.
Amongst everything else I own. So again, I don't know why the sudden case of amnesia around whether or not Ebony owns anything mm-hmm. for her to be demanding ownership from a man. Because mm-hmm. Charlamagne, respectfully, my good brother, my darling, dear colleague in this industry, you actually know better.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
So let's just
act
like you know.
Okay.
So let's just keep it a buck. Let's keep it intellectually honest. Let's, instead of, appeasing the culture, and I'm not saying specifically Charlamagne, but just folks in general with this conversation, including my sore, Dr. Von Zandt, instead of telling black Americans what they might be comforted by temporarily,
mm-hmm.
what would it look like if we pushed?
Mm-hmm.
What would it look like if we called one another up to the highest levels of leadership, ownership mm-hmm. that are possible for your particular skill set?
Mm-hmm.
And as the good sister Monique would say, I love y'all for real. and I'm done with it. So now, after an hour and a half, we're going to get to the docket of the day.
I love it. It had to be said.
Okay, now with all of that, let's run through this docket real quick. Don Lemon, who I was able to converse with a bit over the weekend in D.C. at the White House Correspondents' Ball. Many in the culture, Dustin, were shocked when mm-hmm. last week Don Lemon announced that he was ceremoniously fired.
Yeah.
He said he was stunned.
Yeah.
When he got fired from CNN after 17 years of work and service at the network. I'm going to start just by reading his comment.
Okay.
This was on Twitter. I was informed this morning by my agent, full disclosure, we have the same agent, UTA.
Okay.
That I have been terminated by CNN. I am stunned. After 17 years at CNN, I would have thought that someone in management would have had the decency to tell me directly. At no time was I ever given any indication that I would not be able to continue to do the work I have loved at the network. It is clear that there are some larger issues at play. Put a pin in that.
Mm.
With that said, I want to thank my colleagues and the many teams I have worked with for an incredible run. They are the most talented journalists in the business, and I wish them all the best. Okay. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I'm not going to even get it all messy
mm-hmm.
Because that's, not what we do on Holden Court. And really, right. there's nothing to see here, people.
No.
It's really. I'm going to tell you what it is. Don has already hired a high-powered Los Angeles entertainment attorney by the name of Brian Friedman.
Mm-hmm.
He has previously represented several in the business. I want to say Gabrielle Union for sure. I want to say this was one of the lawyers with dealing with the NeNe Leakes Bravo situation.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And he currently represents, this is attorney Brian Freeman, Chris Cuomo,
okay,
who was Don's colleague over at CNN. Remember, they used mm-hmm. to pass off the show mm-hmm. to one another.
I used to love that moment.
They ahead. Loved yeah. it, too. They mm-hmm. were such, they were so bro-y.
Yeah,
so bro-y in that. Anyways, y'all remember Chris Cuomo was fired, amongst other reasons, for engaging in ways that the network wasn't comfortable with his brother,
mm-hmm.
Andrew Cuomo, as it related to his sexual harassment mm-hmm. scandal. So Chris Cuomo was fired. He is currently seeking $125 million from CNN because he was fired in 2021. We're currently in 2023. I want to be clear. Chris has not gotten any money yet. Mm-hmm. That case remains outstanding. It's also being reported, by the way, y'all know Tucker Carlson over at Fox News was fired. What, the same, they got fired
yeah,
the same damn day. On the same damn day.
Yeah.
And Tucker has also hired Brian Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
So Brian is representing several folks. Now, let me tell you why this. I say there's nothing to see here. Now, I'm not about to sit up here and litigate with y'all why Don Lemon was fired. I'm not exactly sure, and neither the fuck are y'all.
Yeah.
Okay, y'all talking a bunch of shit. Was it because of what he said about Nikki Haley? Was it because of the viral clip that has made its rounds subsequent to the firing of him with the Indian descendant,
mm-hmm.
The man of Indian descent who is a Republican candidate for presidency, mm-hmm. blah, 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 where, you know, Don is advocating for the eradication of anti-blackness mm-hmm. and the Indian man is not. Or was it, you know, there was this awful Daily Beast piece mm-hmm. published about Don talking about how he's a misogynist and mm-hmm. he was doing this and that and all this to, you know, all these women colleagues at CNN. Who knows? What I do know is this. Let's just say all that shit was true.
Mm-hmm.
Don actually should still get paid. I'm going to tell you why. So with these kinds of talent contracts, and let's talk about the one Don had. Don
okay.
had a $7 million a year contract that he just renewed in 2022, and it runs through 2026. Y'all do the math, but essentially Don is saying he is owed $25 million plus on the deal per, mm-hmm. you know, the balance of mm-hmm. the deal. Like, if y'all want to see me go, y'all want me off the air, cool.
Yeah.
Run me my money.
Yeah.
And I'm not some close personal friend of Don Lemon. I want to be clear because there is some coverage, including the ladies on The View and different people that are very pro Don Lemon in their commentary around this. And they admit,
mm-hmm.
most of them with integrity, that it, a lot of it, some of it at least, is because they are close personal mm-hmm. friends with Don. They mm-hmm. hang out with Don in Sag Harbor. They hang out with Don in the Hamptons. I don't hang out with Don. Okay,
mm-hmm.
that's not the nature of my relationship. Don and I are nothing more than industry colleagues
yeah.
who share a talent agent.
Yeah.
That's about it. But that said, objectively speaking, because that's what we do here on Holding Court.
That's right.
Don is owed his money because of this, if for no other reason. Y'all remember Megyn Kelly?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Y'all remember she was in a, I'm going to say, $76-ish million long-term multi-year deal with NBC Universal for that shortly lived hot ass mess daytime
horrible
talk show,
show
that
yes.
she had. Megan was fired. We all saw it. Well, it was several offenses, but the cat's meow, as mm-hmm. they call it, was when she sat on daytime television
mm-hmm.
and said in the year 20, I don't know what it was, 20, maybe mm-hmm. something, 2019, whatever the fuck it was. And she said that she did not see the problem with blackface at this point.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
NBC, you said enough is enough. And they fired her ass. They canceled her immediately. And then she filed suit. And she got every red cent of her $70 plus million deal. So that sets a precedent, Dustin, mm-hmm. that says when you terminate on-air talent for something, for quote, wrongdoing,
mm-hmm.
right? Something egregious that they have said on air or behind the scenes that puts your company in peril.
Yeah.
You absolutely have the right to do that, but you must make good on the fiscal promise
mm-hmm.
that you made to them.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
So if Megyn Kelly got paid,
run Don Lemon his shit.
Don Lemon should get paid.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
And that's that on that.
That's it. That's business practices, right?
That's
the way that things should go.
Yeah.
So love
yeah.
him or hate him. If you hate him, be glad he's gone.
Yeah.
You know, if you love him, wish him well in his future endeavors, but give him the rest
but
of his money from
money.
That contract.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And CNN knows that.
And
they
CNN
were,
knows that.
They were they considered that before they even let him go. They considered, you know, whether or not
sure.
they would be willing to do that. So,
and I'm sure that you know, to me, what would be in everybody's best interest is to go ahead and do a, you know, settle that up real
quiet.
Quick and quiet and keep it pushing
mm-hmm.
because in the big scheme of things, $25 million is not a lot of money to CNN.
No.
Because God only knows what fucking bag they just gave the good Queen Gayle King.
Absolutely.
You know what
to
I mean?
To sit up there with Charles Barkley.
For 1 hour a
let's
week.
Let's start there. For uh-huh. Gayle King, fucking Gayle fucking King.
That's it.
To even consider
yes.
sharing a desk with Charles damn Barkley. You know them mm-hmm. zeros are one right after the other in that contract. You know that.
I,
and to leave CBS? Please.
Well, no. that's the thing, Dustin.
She's not
Auntie
leaving.
Auntie Gail is not leaving.
Oh, she sat up there. That's right.
I just, you know, we just saw her 2 nights ago at the gala that Byron threw, where she was acknowledged as the journalist that we honored for the year. Mm-hmm. Gail said, "Not only am I not going anywhere from CBS, not only am I, you know, here with CNN." She said, "I'm looking for some more jobs." She said, "Byron, what you?" That's what she said. I swear to God.
That's right, Gail.
Gail said, "What you got Burris. Going on?"
Okay,
yeah, that's it.
I know that's right.
Yeah, give me all the bags.
Okay, she on her candy shit.
That's it. She's on her Candy Burris. So Gail said, and I'm not even thinking about retirement.
Good
she made
for
that
her.
Clear too.
I didn't know she was staying at CBS.
Yeah, because the CNN thing is once a week, baby.
Oh, go ahead, Gail.
She did that all the way.
Go
right.
ahead, Gail. Ooh, Gail got ooh.
Yeah, that's the kind of ownership hustling up I'm talking about. You know what
Gail
I mean?
Gail got
It's aspirational.
It sure is.
I'm gonna say it just like that. So with that said, yeah, 25 mil ain't really nothing to CNN at this point. And I'm sure, to your point, Dustin, that they baked that into the cake.
For sure.
They said, you know what, all these headaches or whatever they felt Don was causing that caused them to want to dismiss and say goodbye to you, sir, that will be worth it.
And let's keep it all the way real. CNN has definitely, taking a pivot in their direction, okay,
and what
the conversation is,
yeah.
you know, from their platform. And I don't think that they were in agreement with the new Don Lemon. We know this is a different Don Lemon than we were introduced to.
Yes, this is a different Don Lemon that told us many moons ago to stop sagging
yeah.
and smoking. Now it's been a revelation yeah. from Don Lemon.
Mm-hmm.
It's Don Lemon 2.0, and that's fine. People are allowed to change their minds.
They didn't want that anymore.
No. Well, you know, let's name it, right? They had new ownership by the way of the new president of Warner Brothers.
Yes.
And that individual has a track record of conservative donorship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we just have to say these things.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. And that individual did not want, I don't think any anchor, sitting on air talking about anything that would do any amplification and elevating of Black life in America. I'm gonna say it like that, because I think that has to be part of the reason that Laura Coates, who is as experienced as most of these other, you know, 45 and under women that they're just tossing out shows to like peanuts, and this young woman had been filling in for Don for many almost a year, maybe more, and she was told that she's not going to be getting a permanent role.
Yeah. So, I mean, the messaging is clear
it's
here.
Clear.
So at this point, run him his damn money. And Don Lemon will see opportunity elsewhere for sure.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
I will watch his talk show.
It would probably be extremely messy.
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely. He'll have no shortage of viewership.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Wendy Williams.
You There's
know, he
your
used
new
to,
Wendy.
I was just going to say, and he used to do that Hot Topics panel all the time. Don would probably enjoy that.
I expect to see that coming, personally, but we'll see.
Stand by. So we talked about taxes in the opening of the show, specifically around my extremely high tax liability. Shout out to the IRS.
IR and the S, okay?
Because let me tell you, it's only two people that I'm afraid of in this whole thing called life.
Mm-hmm.
My Father God.
And the IRS. That's right.
Okay, let me tell you the truth about it.
That's right.
So Miss Beyonce Knowles Carter has filed a petition in tax court.
Mm-hmm.
Because she, too, understands the gravity of the I, the R, and the
S. For sure.
According to Forbes magazine, Beyonce has filed a petition in U.S. tax court contesting a nearly $2.7 million tax and penalties bill. So let's talk about this petition. It was filed early in April. Beyonce is seeking to have the court reconsider additional fees assessed by the IRS in January of this year, 2023. And she's doing so. There's a tool that she's using. It's called the Notice of Deficiency.
Okay.
Let's define this.
That's what we need to start giving people. You know what? Here's a notice of deficiency, motherfucker. This is where you wrong. That's what we're going to start passing
this
out.
This is you coming up short, my
this
dude.
This could be our new segment.
Yeah.
Okay,
notice of
Who's
deficiency.
Who's getting a notice of deficiency
like
this week?
That.
Okay.
Put a pin in
Let's
that.
Let's start pink
Ashley,
slipping, motherfuckers.
We're going to start putting that in the rundown.
Notice of deficiency.
That's it. Because some of y'all deficient as... Okay, so Ashley, speaking of her brilliant producing, she's given us a little caveat here on the sidebar. This is the definition of a notice of deficiency per H&R Block. And if y'all H&R Block would like us to say more about your company, feel free to buy advertising ads.
The opportunity is right there.
It's right there for the taking. Clearly, we have alignment.
That's it.
Anyway, a notice of deficiency, also called a statutory notice of deficiency or a 90-day letter.
Okay.
Those are all terms used. It's a legal notice in which the IRS commissioner determines the taxpayer's tax deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Okay. Now, let's go back to Beyonce. In her notice, let's talk the numbers. They're saying that $850, so around $800,000, basically, in additional tax is owed. That's what they're saying. They're also saying that they're penalizing her, Dustin, $161,000 from a bill back in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're adding, $1.4 million, essentially, and some change in additional tax. So they're just saying this is just some more taxes you didn't pay. And then again, another penalty of almost $300,000, $288,000 and some change owed from 2019. So run it back down. They got a penalty for 2019. Mm-hmm. They got a penalty for 2018. Mm-hmm. They're saying you were short, you were deficient, there's mm-hmm. that word again, on this $1.4 million, and then another almost $1 million just in additional taxes in general.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the dispute. Miss Beyonce is disputing the deficiency. She's saying I'm not short at all, essentially. Mm-hmm. She's saying that the IRS failed to give her the full value of her deductions. Again, those of us especially, they run, well, really only mostly business owners are really privy to this deductive language.
Yeah.
Because you know that is one of the benefits mm-hmm. of owning either an LLC or S Corp.
What? Another benefit of ownership? The ties that bind.
Color me crazy.
Color me crazy.
Ain't that crazy?
What?
Yeah, it's this crazy thing, Dustin.
Wow.
Where when you own your business, instead of just being a hourly or salaried employee, mm-hmm. hence the people that get W-2s, mm-hmm. so when you get these 1099s, mm-hmm. you're allowed to deduct mm-hmm. the expenses associated with your income. I just want somebody to ask Beyonce if she get a W-2. Anyway, Beyonce is disputing this. I mean,
if anybody looking for the bottom line,
yeah,
there it is.
Yeah, just ask her if she dated a bus driver.
Yeah.
Anyway, Beyonce is saying that she did not get her full deduction value. Mm-hmm. She's saying that she gave almost $1 million, $868,000 and then some in charitable. She said, that's just what I gave away. Mm-hmm. To charity, and we both know that charitable deductions are a major way
absolutely.
In which you can undercut that tax bill.
Mm-hmm.
So Beyonce is saying, give me my credit
mm-hmm.
for my big gracious heart.
And then she just wants them to settle that bill. That's
settle
all she
that was, bill.
She calls, she wants to speak to the manager.
She
basically,
said,
that's
let me speak
on.
To the regional
yeah.
manager.
Okay.
She's also contested penalties. She's saying that 20% of the underpayment that the IRS statute is saying. Y'all know she's CEO of Parkwood, again, mm-hmm. ownership.
Mm-hmm.
She argues in her petition that the extra penance should not apply because she's at, oh, so the tax office was giving her like a 20% penalty. That's where those penalties come from. Because
mm-hmm.
they're saying when you underpay, not only do you owe us the money that we think you owe us, we're also going to penalize you on top
yeah.
of that. Mm-hmm. So that's that 20%. So she's saying, nah. Y'all need to eat that, take that off the bill,
mm-hmm.
because I operated in good faith. And if I did short y'all, I didn't mean to.
Mm-hmm.
So I should not have a punitive 20% penalty, which, you know, makes sense. Keep this in mind. This is all in the backdrop of her gearing up for her world tour for Renaissance.
Yes.
I know a lot of folks got tickets in Paris
mm-hmm.
and London.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going?
Toronto and London. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Got that. So that's the thing with Beyonce. Here's the thing I will say about it. Again, you know, I'm no stranger when it comes to talking about my relationship with the I, the R, and the S.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all should know this. Y'all should learn from Miss Beyonce here. For those of you, see, and again, this is where some folks are different. Not better or worse.
Just different.
April comes around for some folks in the culture, and it's a very exciting time. We got to tell the truth. It's an exciting time because they're going to get something called a refund.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get money back, and they're going to do various things with it. Some make smart investments.
Buy a bus.
Some... I love just teed it up. Dustin just knocked it out the park.
That's it.
Yeah, you can buy a bus. $5,000-$6,000, you can buy a whole bus.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, and some people do other things. The point is, it's your money, so you get to do with it what you want.
Right,
I firmly believe. Birkin shaming over
no,
here.
No,
you
no.
Know, that's what you want to do, sis.
Do
live
it.
Your life.
Yeah.
Or bro, or you want to get a chain, you know,
yeah,
go do that.
Whatever.
It's your money.
Mm-hmm.
So some people get excited for April, Dustin, because they get a tax return, and that's great. There are others of us. They really have to pry ourselves off the ledge every April.
Every April.
Every April. My phone be ringing. It be my account. Lord, yeah. I'm like, bitch.
It's a drinking
just,
month.
Just listen.
You
it's
dread
a, it's
it.
A heavy, it's a heavy alcohol consumption
we
month.
We still going to the damn principal's office. It feels like you got called to the
it's
principal's
so,
office.
I be like, how is it April again?
And it's not. I just
it was
wanna,
just April, Dustin.
Not to get too far off.
Yeah.
But this is not a once a year, you know. plight that we have. No. We can't even enjoy every check we get because you know you got to put damn near half the money up into an account.
Into that.
So you can be all right.
On my own payroll.
So you could just write the check in April.
I'm so sad.
Yeah.
And Lawrence, first of all, I don't know what happened. I guess, you know, I got to give it up to Puff.
Mm-hmm.
Because he did say more money, more profits.
Yeah, and that's real.
And the older I get, the more I'm seeing that shit is the truth.
More I'll be like, damn,
son. I'm like, Laura, we just talked. Anyway, shout out to Laura, my CPA. thank God for you, sis.
Yes.
Because otherwise, I might be in the penitentiary. Yes. Yeah, and we all know I'm really not designed
We're
for time.
We're not doing that.
Anyway, what y'all should know and take from this is when you get those deductions and you're in that type of tax situation where you are paying the government, you can ask for this type of relief, as you see Beyonce doing. Like, it's as simple as I've been on the phone in years past where, they, you know, you owe this and this and this. And then if you get a really good agent on the
mm-hmm.
phone,
mm-hmm.
they'll say, I'm not saying this, but I'm saying this.
Yes, they will. Yes, they will. I sure have.
Uh-huh. And they'll say, well, you know, you could ask mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. for relief.
Yeah.
You could ask
I'm just
for
like,
forgiveness.
I've seen people before
that's
where
what
they'll
say.
You know, yeah, they'll tell you something. They'll tell you without telling
without
you.
Without telling you. They'll yeah. be like, well, you know, what you owe is this. But, mm-hmm. but something, like you said, something I've seen historically is when you ask, you shall receive.
Mm-hmm.
okay? Mm-hmm. And so that's what I really want y'all to take from this Beyonce story is what she's doing is, you know, at a very, very high level, it's talking about almost $3 million because she is Beyonce. We understand
yeah.
that. But know that, and this is the whole point of holding court.
Yeah.
Is we take these stories that relate to the biggest celebrities in the world and we apply them to our everyday lives.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be sitting at home right now in Colorado or Memphis and you might owe on your small business $12,000 and you might be like, damn, how the fuck am I going to come up with $12,000? Just get on the phone with them. Next
yep.
thing you know, that $12,000 is six.
Yep.
I've seen it. I've lived it.
How about that?
You know?
You have to ask.
You
closed
have to
mouths
ask.
And closed legs.
Don't get fed.
So you got to ask, okay? You got to ask.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus.
But yeah, shout out to Beyonce, though. You know, I don't give a damn how much money you got.
It's always about saving.
Yeah, you have
always.
To watch every dollar. And that be the message.
And that's why rich people stay rich.
You got to watch what's going out, what's coming in, all of that. She could very easily make this go away by writing a check, swiping
whatever.
She
could write the check, but that's not how wealthy people remain wealthy. You know, you got to, like you said, you got to watch everything that's coming in and everything that's going out. And when there's opportunities
to reduce
liability,
you do that.
So shout out to the CEO of Parkwood.
That's right.
Beyonce, also known.
The ownership.
The owner-operator of Parkwood. All right, we're going to finish up with this one. Y'all were asking about it. This is pretty simple and cut and dry. This is Pras.
Mm-hmm.
Pras, founding member of the Fugees. And wasn't everybody in your DMs about this one?
And I almost DM'd my damn self. I was like, this nigga has been in the streets. Do you hear me? It's one thing for somebody to get caught up, you know, with a certain crime, but this shit.
This was next level. Yeah, this was not, your typical petty foolery.
Mm-hmm.
This was Pras. Government name is Pras Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Haiti.
Yes, for sure.
For sure. He, of course, has been looking at these federal charges for many years now.
Mm-hmm.
We found out about it back in 2018 when this indictment was unsealed. We know that he was charged with 10 different counts of conspiracies, all related to the use of, quote, foreign influence in two presidential elections.
Mm-hmm.
Said another way, said simply, Pras was kicking it with this Malaysian investor, so-called billionaire named Lojo.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just take a
Which
moment.
Which I mean, sometimes God put the answer right in front of your face. Right in front of your face. Should I do business with somebody named Lojo?
He done told you on the front end, it's low. Maya Angelou said, when they tell you who they are, believe them. He said, I'm Lojo. Anyway, Lojo was trying to put some money into Barack Obama's presidential campaign in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wondering, well, what's wrong with that? When Joe Lowe's of the world pour into presidents, they're trying to buy them.
Absolutely.
They're looking for influence. They're not looking to make a charitable donation to the Obama Foundation.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Right. Let's be clear. They're looking for influence. They're looking to pay to play.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Pras, being silly or dumb or paid,
mm-hmm.
pick your poison,
You know, two things, in this case, three things to be true at the same time.
All at the same damn time. He decided that it was a good idea to play middleman because, of course, Joe Lowe could not just casually deposit. We're talking about big money, y'all. $21.6 million. He could not just casually deposit that from a foreign account to the Obama campaign fund. That would be, oh, I don't know, eyebrow raising. So he uses Pras as to essentially, you know how people wash money in drug deals? Mm-hmm. He's essentially washing this campaign contribution through Praz's account. So he hands the $21.6 million to Praz, and then Praz funnels it to the U.S. election cycle while trying to disguise it as legitimate campaign donations. All that to say, feds got wind of it. It wasn't cute. They cannot get to Joe Lowe. That's part of the problem. They cannot get to Joe Lowe. And it was the feds say, well, if we can't get to one, we'll get to the other. Keep in mind, y'all, several other people were also a part of this. Praz was not the only one, but many of the other celebrities, including Steve Wynn. If that name sounds familiar, your ass probably stayed at the Wynn Hotel in Vegas. He's a billionaire type of so-called businessman, I suppose.
I'm never staying at the Wynn again. Don't want to cut you off, but no, I had to go off. When I was there on New Year's Eve, remember when I was in Vegas? Yes. I stayed at the Wynn. The fucking guy in the hotel tried to ask me to take my hood off.
What? So somebody that you had an employee?
So let's not even. But so you know how that went with me.
Yeah.
So let's just go there. But that's my relationship. The Wynn is in my email right now.
Really?
Trying to make that right. And that was in January.
I hope you got a lot of zeros with it, baby, because that's what you deserve.
The fuck?
So the Wynn is on our shit list. Let's start there. Number two, Steve Wynn was, to me, based off the facts that we know, based off the unsealing of the files, his hands were just as dirty as Praz's. But, oh, I don't know. You guessed the reason, y'all.
What's the difference?
What the difference is between Steve Wynn and Praz Michelle. Inquiring minds want to know. Anyways, Steve went away unscathed, along with several other white wealthy businessmen, and some foreign ones, too. But Praz is literally left holding the bag. So he awaits sentencing, and y'all, Praz is going to jail.
Yeah, baby. He is gone.
He's going. So Fugees, well, y'all want to do some farewell shit, whatever the fuck y'all want to do, do it quick.
They should have toured.
They really should have. And weren't they supposed to?
Yeah, and they had that event here, and then the tour never came to fruition. Huge fumbled bag.
Yeah.
I can't say that Praz was doing that out of desperation.
Sure.
You know, we don't know. But what we do know for sure is that there was ample opportunity there for him to make an honest living. The Fugees are a legacy rap group.
Totally.
They could have toured and charged an exorbitant amount for the tickets off the strength of Lauren being in the group alone.
Period.
And people would have done that. They could have made, he could have seen millions and millions of dollars from working essentially this legacy group that they are.
Indeed. I mean, as we know, y'all, there's no free lunches and there's no shortcuts.
Yeah.
And every time something looks good, too good to be true. And again, y'all, it's not fair. So stop with these notions of fairness. Well, the white man did it. Well, we ain't the white man.
No.
So, okay. And so therefore, holding ourselves to those standards will get us nowhere fast other than in the penitentiary.
Mm-hmm.
You better ask Jen Shaw. So, you know, shout out to Praz and the fact that he is going to be doing some substantial federal time.
I mean,
it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
It really
is. He's talented. He was a part of
my God.
Something that is so, you know, so
unprecedented.
Rich.
I mean, really, who the Fugees are from a cultural standpoint, from a musical standpoint, from a gender, you know, challenging gender roles, everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's just really, really fucking sad to see. But that's that. And I think sometimes, and I'll leave it with this, sometimes, Dustin, when people see certain celebrities' names with these charges, like they think it's a game. They think it's a joke. Yeah, like, yo, people really going to jail. Praz is really going to federal prison.
Like, there's no way around it. That's what's going to happen.
It's only a matter of how long.
That much damn money? Please.
And you're talking about a presidential election.
What?
So that's just really, you know how they be saying at the airport, don't let anybody hold your bags? Y'all better listen. So with that note, that's going to do it for this week's episode.
All right.
Of Holding
Court.
What
an episode it was.
What an episode
baby.
It was. Caliente.
That's
okay.
Right.
Okay. Next week we'll be back in session, of course. In the meantime, stay safe. Stay prayed up. Think about some ownership. Think about what it could look like. What you want the people to do, Dustin?
Day bus driver? No, I'm just playing. Read your
Get
terms
you a
and
bus
conditions.
Driver.
Okay, it's time. to get on the bus. Remember that movie,
Get
on the
Bus,
goddammit.
I think that was Spike Lee, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and shout out to the bus.
He didn't drive a bus. He made a movie about one. So, see, that's the difference.
That's
you know
the
what
difference.
I'm saying? It's just,
yeah, and God bless bus drivers. God bless MTA, because
yes.
I know I be on the MTA every day.
Yes.
Y'all had me late as a motherfucker today,
God
but that's okay.
God bless bus drivers. I got jumped in the eighth grade, and
on
I was winning. Yeah, but it was getting to the line. You know what I'm saying? It was two of the motherfuckers, and the bus driver broke it up.
Oh,
shout out to bus drivers. You
absolutely.
Know what I'm saying?
Shout out to anybody in America who gets up and goes to get it.
That's right.
They
ensured I got that W that day. You know what I'm saying?
Dustin, bye. Holden Court is an Interval Presents original production from Uppity Productions in association with Dossie Media. Executive producer and host, Ebony K. Williams. Co-host and producer, Dustin Ross. From Interval Presents, executive producers, Alan Coy and Jake Kleinberg. Produced, of course, by Ashley J. Hobbs. Editing, sound design, and mix by Stephanie Morell. Original music by Epidemic Sound. Video editing by Kason Alexander and Courtney Deans. Consultant, Carla Wilmaris. Special thanks to operations lead, Sarah Yu. Business development lead, Sheffy Ellen Swag, and marketing lead, Samira Still.